took a look into some of his things as far as messages and stuff like that. And so I went to the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and I got an outline of something that was written, and it was called The Steps to Peace with God. And tonight's message, I drew that outline out of that, and so I'm going to be preaching that here tonight. I just hope I can do it some sort of justice. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight, God. And Father, we thank you for the man that you sent, God. You always use a person that's willing, God. Oh, Father, you look over the earth searching for a person to use, God. And there was a man named Billy Graham, God, that you used in such a powerful way, God. Oh, Father, that was a worldwide evangelist, America's pastor, God. Oh, Father, that people from all over this world respected and loved him, God, as he spread your word and your gospel, God. We thank you for his life, Lord. And Father, I pray for this message, God, as it comes forward, Lord, that it would so with power, Lord. And Father, I just pray for every person in this room, God, that today, God, they would feel a touch from you, that they would experience your Holy Spirit, God, that they would have an encounter, God, with your power tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Before I get started, just real quick announcement. If you are interested in going to Mighty Men of Valor, or if you've never been, it's a life-changing experience. Amen. So make sure, come this Sunday, right before Havana Nights, we're going to be having a real quick meeting just to get signed up. So if you want some more information on how to get there, we're going to be doing that with Pastor Joe right after Sunday morning service. So tonight I'm going to be preaching Steps to Peace with God. Number one, recognize God's plan for your life. God has a plan, and God's plan is to give you peace and life. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's plan for our life includes peace. To have peace in our hearts. I know many times we can go throughout our day, we're at work or wherever we're at, and we're in distress, we're in anxiety, we're in worry through the trials and situations of life. But God has a plan, and God's purpose for our life is to have peace. Peace in our hearts. Peace to know that God is with us. That the Bible says that he will never leave or forsake us. Many times we stay awake late at night in our beds, and we wake up, or we'll have dreams, or we'll stay awake thinking about the worries of tomorrow and the worries of life and the anxieties of life. But God does not want us to live a life full of worry and anxiety and distress. He wants to give us peace in our hearts, in every situation or circumstance, to give us peace. Even when the disciples were in the boat, and you saw that there was a great storm that hit the boat, the waves were crashing around, and Jesus woke up where he was sleeping, and he walked out to the boat, and all he had to do was speak to the monstrous storm. All he had to say was, peace, be still, that the waves stopped. That's because we serve a God of peace. We serve the God of peace. No matter how our mind is going, or our situations, or how the outlook or outcome might look to our natural eye, our God is a God of peace. Not just peace. If we turn to the book of John, in the 3rd chapter, verse 16, we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, God's plan for our life is not just to give us peace, but to give us life. To give us, many of us, we didn't have a life. We come from different lifestyles where we didn't have what you would call a life. We didn't have peace in our lives. We would just wake up every morning not knowing what we were going to do or where we were going to go. We were in and out of jails and institutions and prisons, on and off the streets, in and out of foster care or whatever the case is. But God has purpose to give us a life. In the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, he said not just to give us a regular life, but a life full of abundance, an abundant life. This is God's purpose for our lives. Peace and life. Peace and life where we can wake up in the morning and have a sense of belonging, have a sense of dignity, have a sense of victory in our lives because of who God is and what God has done for us. Not just to recognize God's plan for our life, we must also realize the problem. And the problem that we have is the separation that we cause between us and our God. See, God does have a plan. And the Bible says it's a good plan. But see, we do things that separate us from the plan of God. When we disobey the word of God, then what happens is a separation that takes place from the will of God, from the plan of God. When we disobey what the word of God says, we create our own separation. See, when God created us in his own image, see, our God is victorious. And when he created us in his own image, he created us to have victory. He created us to live a victorious life. But see, he also gave us free will. He gave us a will to choose and choices to make freely. And because we have a free will and we're able to make choices freely, when we choose to walk away from God or we choose to disobey God's word, we create a separation from God. We separate ourselves from God. Romans chapter 3. Verse 23 reads like this. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through redemption. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. But see here it says through redemption. Through what God did on the cross, through who Jesus is, we don't have to stay in that same path in our lives, separated from God. But we can have victory in God. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that appears right, but in the end leads to death. There is a way that appears right, but in the end leads to death. See, this is when we make decisions on how we feel or on what we think is right or on our own opinion. But how many of you know that we have to obey the word of God? Obey the written word of God. Not just what we think is right, where we think we should go, what we think we should do, what feels right to our emotions or to our feelings or to our opinions. But God has set up in the Bible his promises. And when we follow the promises of God, then we're able to walk in victory with God. So not just realize the problem, which is the separation, but the third thing is, respond to God's remedy found in the cross. See, what God did when he sent his son Jesus to the cross is he built a bridge between the people and God. And that bridge was his son Jesus Christ. That bridge, there was a gap that needed to be filled. There was a separation that had taken place. There was a void that was created that needed to be filled, and the only thing that could fill it was the Son of God, which was Jesus Christ. And we have to understand, We have to understand, we have to realize, we have to come to a place where we have to understand that we are nothing apart from Christ. That we can do nothing aside from Christ. Yeah, we can wake up in the morning and we can go to work. We can go throughout our day. We can go to school. All these things. But if we don't have Christ, we have nothing. Without Christ, we have nothing. Nothing that we build without Christ will last. Nothing that we make without Christ will stand the test of time. You can't be happy apart from Christ. You can't be fulfilled apart from Christ. You can't be satisfied apart from Christ. You'll never have liberty apart from Christ. You'll never have freedom. You'll never have purpose. You'll never have destiny apart from Christ. Oh, but when you invite the Son of God into your life, when you accept the blood that He shed on the cross for our sins, when you come to a place that says, I can't do it, but I know through you I can do all things, when you come to the understanding that whatever you put together is going to fail, when you come to the realization that whatever that you do apart from Christ won't last, then you allow God to fill the gap. You allow God to build a bridge. There's only one mediator to God, and that's His Son, Jesus Christ. We have to come to the understanding that if you want to fulfill your purpose, don't chase your purpose, chase Christ. You want to find your calling, don't chase your calling. Chase Christ. Everything that you need is on the same road to Christ. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all people. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, when we didn't deserve it, when we were at a place where someone would say that, yeah, let me take his place because he deserves to live. When we didn't deserve a second chance. When we weren't on the right road. When we weren't doing the right things. Christ looked down and He saw us and He says, I want to die for him. I'll die for her because I have a plan and a purpose for their lives. For no good for nothing, don't feed junkies. For people that were lost and bound with addiction, God said, I will send my Son Jesus to die on their behalf. I don't know about you, but I get excited to know that Christ died for me and I didn't even believe in Him. I was an atheist and God said, I know you don't even believe in me, but I believe in you. Even when you couldn't even believe in yourself, He believed in you. He believed in you. He saw fit to rescue you because He had a plan for your life. He saw fit to pull you out because He had a destiny with your name on it. Don't ever think that you're here by coincidence. Don't ever think you're here by mistake. God has a plan for your life. God has a destiny for you. God has a destiny for your family. Oh, don't think for one minute it's just about you. But God is going to use you to lead your family. God is going to use you to reach your siblings and your spouses and your parents. God is going to use you to reach your neighborhood and your city. God is going to use you. He's going to launch you out all over the world. See, some of you can't see it. You can't see it because it's been about you your whole life. Right? You've been looking in the mirror your whole life. God doesn't want you to look in the mirror. He wants you to look out the window. Because there's a hurting and dying world out there. It's not about you. It's not about your feelings. It's not about your emotions. It's not about you, but it's about the lost. I believe Billy Graham knew that with all of his heart. It wasn't about him. You saw the price that he had to pay, spending countless days and nights away from his children. Oh, so one could come to know the Lord. So one could get rescued. So one person like him, one person like you. This city is full of yous. This city is full of ex-meth addicts. This city is full of meth addicts. Full of heroin addicts. Full of drug addicts and alcoholics and prostitutes. This city is full of people that were like you. Quit looking in the mirror and take a peek out the window. It's time to Victory Outreach. Our pastor has been speaking on evangelism for week after week, and I believe that this is our time to take it to the streets. Amen. This is our time to take it to the neighborhoods. This is our time to get plugged into one of our life groups to make an impact in our city, to make the cause of Christ real, not just in church, but in our lives. In our lives. Point four. Let me recap. First, recognize God's plan for your life. Number two, realize our problem, which is separation. Number three, respond to God's remedy found in the cross. And number four, receive God's Son as our personal Lord and Savior. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and them with me. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 reads, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We have to receive, not just know Jesus. We have to receive Jesus into our hearts. Has Jesus changed your heart? Has Jesus came in and changed your heart? Have you accepted him in? I know we're here, we're in church, we're not in a stadium, we're not packed out at a crusade, but how many of you know that too many times we can be members of a church but not have Jesus residing in our hearts? We need to let Jesus in to change and transform us. To accept the Son of God as the Lord and Savior, as the King of our hearts. And the thing about kings, if I can get a keyboard player up, the thing about kings is they have total control. See, democracy is different. We live in a democracy. We have government, right? And in that, there's this thing called a vote. And how many know that We have the right to vote, right? Some of us have done things that we don't get the right to vote anymore. But we have the right to vote, depending on how we feel or what we think, right? We have an opinion, and with our opinion, we can go to the ballot and we can cast a vote. And what happens is, the majority wins. If more people that choose this over that, then this wins. That's a democracy. That's how you vote. But see, Jesus isn't our president. Jesus is our king. And with kings, you don't get a vote. With kings, you don't get a vote. It's not about your opinion or what you feel. What you think. With kings, it's this or that. It's their decision. Are you ready to make Jesus the king of your heart? See, that's the problem with people that have that look in the mirror too long. They start to think they're the king. You think you're in control. It's your life, right? I'll do what I want. It's not about what you want. It's about what He wants. The Bible says that He'll give you the desires of your heart. Listen, you can't achieve your own desires. All you can achieve is temporary satisfaction and position. But all that will fail. But when you allow Jesus to rule and reign as King over your life, once you accept Him into your heart as your Lord and Savior, and give Him total control, full control of your life, then you'll have access. Access to His promises, His favor, His provision, His purpose. Just like we read before, His purpose was to give you peace and life. When we go out on our own and we make ourselves the king, we don't have peace or life. Not until we let Jesus come in. Until we let Jesus have full control. Some of you have accepted Jesus into your life, but have you made Him king? You say, God, I give You my life, but You can't make the decisions. I still want control of the decisions. But once you say, God, You're my king. Jesus, You're my king. Whatever Your will is, God, I know You gave me a free will, but with my free will, I choose to follow You. I choose to follow You. If everybody can stand at their feet tonight. Tonight, if you're in that place where you feel like you've been coming to church and you love Jesus and you love to worship and you want the plan of God for your life, but you can honestly say that I haven't made Jesus my king. I haven't made Jesus my king. I still do what I want or what I feel. Or maybe you're at that place where you're stuck in front of the mirror and everything's just about you, about your wants, your desires. You say, you know what, I need to turn my mirror into a window. I need to quit thinking just about myself, but I need to think about others. The wants and needs of those around me, the wants and needs of the hurting and dying world, the wants and needs of people who are in my own city, addicted, those that were once like you were, or those that you were once like. Listen, you haven't came too far that you've forgotten where you came from. You haven't come too far where you can't remember back how hurting and lost that you were. Listen, just like you didn't deserve a chance, but God still saw fit to send someone to you. Don't ever think that they don't deserve a chance. Because God has you. If that's you here tonight, you say, I need to make Jesus the king of my life, or you say, it's no longer about myself anymore. I want to make a difference. Then I want you to step out of your seats right now and begin to make your way to this altar. Come on, from all this place, if that's you, say, I don't want to be the same. Yeah.
Come on, step out of this seat. God wants to use your life.